Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, everybody get up! Everybody get up! Everybody needs to understand that I'm more than simply a hype man for this rap group. Just like GEICO is more than just a company that can save you money. GEICO also has fast and friendly claim service, so they can help you when you need it most. And while I do love being a hype man, I also love reading for children's audiobooks. Like Little Bo Peep, she lost the sheep, and she don't know where to find them. Yo!
GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Blog Talk Radio.
Play. Sure. Yeah.
Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Every morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when they come up.
Up, I just laugh, put my kicks up on they desk, unaffected by they threats, then get busy on they ass. See, that's how that shutdown made me, that's how my daddy raised me. That glycerin may not be gold, don't let nobody play me. If you are my homeboy, you never have to pay me. Go on and put your hands up, when times is hard, you stand up. L.U.P. the man, cause the brand that the fans trust. So even if they ban us, they'll never slow my plans up. There. Three in the air for the kids in the ghetto. Four for the kids that don't wanna be there. None for the kids trying to hold them back. Five in the air for the teachers not scared to tell those kids that's living in the ghetto that the news is holding back, that the world is theirs. Yeah, yeah, the world is yours. I was once that little boy, terrified of the world. Now I'm on a world tour. I will give up everything, even start a world war for these ghetto girls and boys I'm rapping around the world for. Africa to New York, Haiti then I detour. Oakland out to Oakland, got the strip to Detroit. They hip-hop only destroy. Tell them, look at me, boy. I hope your son don't have a gun and never be a D-boy.
Now tuned into the most powerful show for truth anywhere on the face of planet Earth and beyond. You're tuned into the voice of the voiceless. This is the voice of an entire nation. Welcome to the Star and Crescent Report. As always, we open up in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is none other than Master Farad Muhammad, the almighty, all-wise, true and living God Allah, who has come to us this day and granted us a divine mercy and reminder in the personage of the last and most surely the greatest of the apostles, prophets, and messengers of God to ever live. We speak about none other than our leader, teacher, and guide for these final days of judgment, the most holy and humble, Elijah Muhammad. And we greet all of our listening and viewing audiences with the greetings of peace, love, and paradise in the original language of Arabic, which means peace be unto you. We say to you all in both their names of love, As-salamu alaykum. For those of you who may wish to participate in our discussion today, you're welcome to call in at 347-989-0855. That's 347-989-0855. Or you can hit us up with a message at Hiram1555@yahoo.com. That's Hiram1555@yahoo.com. As always, we'd like to thank you for giving us another hour of your day and another day of your time. We'd like to thank the thousands of you who listen live from around the globe and the thousands of you who will download us later from all of our affiliate sites, be it Hiram Hiram1555.tumblr.com, Twitter.com/Hiram1555, Facebook.com/Hiram1555, BlogTalkRadio.com/Hiram1555, and our main news blog, which is formerly TrumpetOfTruth.wordpress.com, and also formerly SalaamJournal.com and SalaamJournal.org, which is now the Hiram1555 blog at Hiram1555.com. Again, my beloved family, I say unto you all, Assalamu alaikum, and welcome to another edition of the most powerful show of truth anywhere on the face of planet Earth. This is the platform for black empowerment, liberation, education. I tell you what, this is your show, the Star and Crescent Report, and our show today is titled Game Over, The Pillars of the Western World Unravels. Now, the whole world, you must admit this now. You can't be mad about the situation. You got to admit it. I know some of you get mad when we talk about these things and when we preface it with the white world or the Anglo or whatever. But you cannot get mad. You cannot deny the fact that the white man has been in control of the world politics, economics, everything for the last, really, 4,000 years, 5,000 years. You say six. No, we say about 4,000 or 5,000 years complete control of everything. Now, even when you are a sovereign country, and I'm rambling for a minute because this, I'm reading the news and I'm seeing everything that's going on, and it still boggles my mind that some people cannot process the fact that when the white man keeps talking about economic collapse, global reset, climate change, global warming, and he's talking about facing solar storms and things that they've never faced before, earthquakes that they've never seen before. All of these things are coming in a time that we try to ignore due to the fact that it does not fit in with our narrow view and narrow thinking. We try to push back prophecy. We try to beat back world events. We try to beat back the geopolitics and the economics of the situation because we want to just look at things like the Christian preacher does. He looks at things ignorantly and without evaluating everything that's around him. And this leaves him in a position where when things start falling, he will be crushed under the weight of prophecy. We don't want any of that. We want you to understand the time. We want you to understand your place in the time. And we want you to understand the reality of what's going on today. So hence you hear us say, white man, why? Who controls the United Nations? The white man. Who controls war around the globe? The white man. Who controls the levels of monetary power around the globe? The white man. He controls every level of power globally. And now everything is armed against him. Everything is coming against him. It is no coincidence that these things are happening in their time, in that time that Messenger Elijah Muhammad had talked to us about. It's no coincidence that the prophets of old had predicted the fall of America, the fall of modern Babylon. And we're looking at these events take place. You know, I was looking at, and I'm not going to name a name on this, but I just have to say these things because just like we condemn the Christian preacher for preaching just out of faith without any facts-based in their speeches, well, we have a lot of Muslim ministers or so-called ministers that do that also. And when they teach, they'll just say, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says they're not able to back up what he says, and Muhammad says that he has believers, but what he needs are people who can prove his teaching. You understand? Prove his teachings. How do you prove something? You must present actual facts. Isn't that the basis of your teaching when you are brought into the Nation of Islam? You have to learn what? Your actual facts. Why? Because you're supposed to be able to present them at the drop of a dime. When you are confronted with people who oppose the truth, you're supposed to be able to back up this stuff. So what we're not trying to sugarcoat these things. We're trying to bring this to you in a way that you can digest it because the time demands that you look at the way the world is and what is going on in the world in a real sense, in real time, lest you be caught slipping those who are left behind. Game over. The pillars of the Western world unravels. Now, when Muhammad told us that America had robbed her gold and her currency of her gold and silver, and when he was teaching us this in the 60s, when he talked about the Fort Knox, the gold in Fort Knox had been gone so long that they don't even know what it looked like. Then he goes into the monetary part of the thing, and he talks about how the white man continues to manipulate his money. Now, Elijah Muhammad was saying this in the 60s. Now you hear all of these pundits saying this today. Do you see how when he spoke this, most of you who are now claiming that you were in the Nation of Islam back then, you did not understand the depths of what he was talking about because time had not brought it about today. So now when you look at today, it is easier for you to understand what Elijah Muhammad was saying, but you were the ones giving him hell 40, 50 years ago because you could not see. The man had vision long, farther than you could ever see down the wheel of time. When he was talking about Fort Knox had lost the gold or had spent the gold or had buried the gold, and he was talking about how America would be robbed, the white man would not be able to print money for too much longer. He said, but we would always have money. Now you're looking at what they're saying about they're trying to have a cashless society. This goes hand in hand with what this man was talking about. You have to be able to look into these teachings, look into these events, and show the world. And just instead of mimicking or parroting what you hear or what you've read, you must be able to go into the depths of these things. Some of us can't do that, and we get mad at others because they can't. And sometimes we misinterpret something that we have heard over the years, or we misread something that we have heard over the years, and when somebody presents it to you in the proper perspective and then tell you, listen, if what I'm saying is wrong, if you can prove your perception or your point of view, then I'm not arrogant. I'll come over to what you're saying, and I'll defend what you're saying with my last breath. But if you cannot present it or defend it in the way that you present it, then why don't you come and take a second look at what we're saying over here? All right? What I'm trying to get to you, black man and black woman, is it's time now. It's time to put up. It's time for you to acknowledge this truth. We've called everything that you are seeing going on around the world, because we have the Rosetta Stone for the truth of the messenger's teaching. We have an insight of what we're looking at. We have the blueprint of world events. And so we confidently, and resolutely declare things on this show that no one talks about because they don't have the in-depth knowledge of these things. This time, brothers and sisters, I want to tell you this, that what you hear on the news about a rebound in the economy, about America being able to display her military might and become the superpower and remain the power in the Middle East and North Africa and remain the global power in Asia, those are all illusions brought about by visions of grandeur. They have become inebriated with the thought of what you used to be, the power you used to have, the influence that you used to project. But we're moving into another time. Another time. Time does not stand still. And this is a time when God said that he would raise up the nations to break the power of America so that the power over you and I could be broken. Oh, black man, and black woman. It's a beautiful time to be a follower of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I was reading an article the other day about the global trade and global commerce. And they were asking the question about why was global trade almost dead? And why was it declining and stagnant, less than stagnant? Now, let's tell you something. It's stagnant is almost like neutral. It's not moving forward. It's not moving backwards. Well, we know that it's moving backwards because they're not getting any growth. They're lying. They'll say, well, we have in this quarter growth, we had 1.6% or 4.5%, and then two quarters down, they said, well, we revised the economic numbers for the first quarter, and we had less growth than we thought, 0.00076%. This is the way the devil is going to lie to you. He's not going to tell you the depths of how much trouble he's facing, because he knows that you have your hopes in him. He knows that you believe that his world of today will be tomorrow, and this is not so. He knows prophecy. He knows time, and when he looks at these numbers that they're being presented with about global stagnation, the depth of international trade and commerce, he understands prophecy. He understands what Elijah Muhammad has said when he says, Allah breaks the power of the white man. Well, how does Allah break the power of the white man, you say? The Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that he breaks the power of the white man by going to destroy his trade. This is going on right now. What is happening? What is commerce? What is the index, the global index for trade saying? It's saying that right here, right now, we are having a, not just a decline, but the worst on record, the worst numbers on record, okay, in global trade. Trade is cut off. In the article, they were talking about how Western nations are suffering the most from this dramatic drop in trade. They were saying that the Western nations, and brothers and sisters, Western nation is cold talk for white people. For those of you who are not aware of this, Western nation is cold for white. When they talk about the civilized world, you have to put quotation marks around that. The civilized world, they're talking about white people. When they're talking about when people buck up against the system and they say the international community, what they're talking about is America, Europe, Australia, and New Zealand. They exclude every other nation. So when we look at this and they talk about the Western nations are suffering and there's a great move from west to east in everything, and this is what presents us with the rise of Mr. Donald Trump, the white man's last hope. He's doing his best, but he's fighting against time. This is the end of America. This is the end. The reason God moves on America is because she is the strongest pillar in the Anglo world system. She lies at the root of the military power of the white world. She lies at the root of the political influence of the white world. She lies at the root of the economic power of the white world. And if you remove the strongest pillar of the house is condemned, right? Is that not basic constructions, laws, right? If you remove the weight-bearing load, that pillar, the house is no longer suitable or fit to live in. So what God is doing, he's breaking the back of the strongest pillar of the white world, bringing her to her knees. Now, let me tell you something. Russia knows prophecy. And why do you think that Russia keep allowing these provocations? They want to confront America. Yes, they're after each other under their skin. Russia wants to confront America. America wants to take out Russia because she sees Russia outside of Allah himself as her greatest threat to her power and rule. And Russia wants to stop playing second fiddle to America. But at the same time, she is doing her best to avoid direct confrontation. Why? Why? With all these provocative moves that America is making, with the sanctions, with the overthrowing of all of the trade partners of Russia, like Libya, like Yemen, Somalia, Syria, Iraq, all of these were great trading nations and large arms buyers from Russia. So to hit these countries undermines not only Russia's strategic position, but her economic position also. Why? If the shoe was on the other foot, don't you think that America would have waged war with Russia? Why is Russia not doing these things? And what does it have to do with prophecy? And what does it have to do with the pillars of the Western world unraveling? Because even as Russia is being provoked, she understands prophecy. She knows that America has been the greatest pillar of white power. And when America falls, that is the fall of the entire system, the global or universal system of white power, white domination, white colonialism, fascism. So she wants to confront her, but she knows prophecy. And she knows that there's a catch-22 in this. If I dig up in her behind, like I'm supposed to do for her provoking me to war, then boom goes the dynamite for the entire system. But it's coming. It's coming. Because Allah is pushing them, these two powers. flock horns, and this thing will happen. But what I'm trying to get to you is, you are the fools, black man and black woman. You're the only one that don't see this, don't understand this. You should be teaching this off every roster in the country to prepare your people for what's going on, to prepare your people for what they see, because you have been put in these positions, or you have taken these positions of ministers and all of these things. You should be telling the people of what is really underway and how it relates to prophecy and how it relates to your salvation or damnation if you reject it. Game over. The pillars of the Western world unravels. America's in deep trouble, brothers and sisters, as I was telling you. I was reading that article and they were talking about that no matter what is going on, no matter what plans that they have, they will all eventually fall through. They're trying to buy another year, another week, another month, another few years for America. And maybe if we can buy this and we can print some more money, if we can come up with some other monetary scheme, we can keep the bubble blown up without bursting it, and we can go on for just a little while longer. I ask you again, why is it that the world is headed for war? Why is it that there's no agreement politically, domestically, or internationally? Why is it that the monetary system is being uprooted and changed around and the power goes from west to east? And why is it that they keep telling you about a global reset and the destitution of the West? And why are they telling you this at a time when Elijah Muhammad told you that it would happen? The 60 could not exceed 70 years of grace period. Do you ever sit down and wonder that? Do you ever sit down and wonder why all of these things, whether it be these new discoveries in space, which bear witness to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, or these new discoveries within the Earth's atmosphere, which bears witness to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, or the things in the economic sphere, or the political sphere, or the geopolitical sphere of things? Why is it that all of these things that are now taking place are bearing witness to Messenger Elijah Muhammad? But if you're not able to present these things in such a way that the world can see it, hear it, and no longer deny it in such a passionate and truthful way, why won't you join? Why won't you just say, you know, brother telling us the truth? I might not like him, but the brother telling us the truth. That's what the messenger said. Arrogance, and because you still like this white man. You got the white man's ways, you got his actions. And instead of embracing truth, because you may dislike a person, even if the person has never done nothing to you, you might dislike the personality, you will, in your best, try to prevent the people from hearing it, which is not from the brother, it's from the Lord of the worlds, as presented to us by his last messenger. But your arrogance, the same way the devil does when he doesn't like anything, he does his best to try to censor it or delete it, or keep you from hearing it in such a way. Isn't that the devil way? That's what we do. We act the same way as the devil, and then we put on our bow ties and stand on the rostrum, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says this, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, prove it. The people just don't want to hear you standing behind a podium, giving your, blowing air, giving your perception of things. We want proof. And this is what the Star and Crescent Report offers to you on a daily basis. Daily basis. We don't do this in the pride. We do it out in the light. Okay? So, I'm just addressing a myriad of things, but all of it is connected. Because the entire system, the basis for the entire world, the atmosphere, is being changed, brothers and sisters, to a new. The old is dying out, and if you continue to hold on to that old way of doing things, that old way of processing things, that old way of thinking and living, which is really not living, it's actually dying. You're just a walking zombie. Then you're going to go to where the dinosaur, well, we know there was no really no dinosaur, but that's another story, but that's just a phrase. You'll go to where the dinosaur. You want something that is edifying. You want something that will uplift you, that will give you the proper instructions, the proper guidance, in a time where we need all the instructions and the guidance that we can get. We, you know, as the system collapses, let me say this also. There are a lot of us who hang on to things that we love. even though the things that we love become detrimental to us. We hang on to them because that's all we know. And it's familiar to us. And we don't want to let go that familiarity for something, even though it might be better. And this leads us down a slippery slope. We have, all of us, we have our faults. All of us, we have our frailties. But this is the time now, brothers and sisters, that you've got to answer to the truth. Because this thing will become so explosive, so detrimental to those who oppose the truth or try to hide the truth or who are arrogant against the truth, that you can lose not only your life but your family's life and your family's lives. And you don't want that. Because some of us, we try to divorce ourselves from the reality of the time and the fulfillment of the judgment. And this is not beneficial to our lives and our safety. It is actually detrimental to it. You understand what I'm saying? We've got to get out of this habit. So when we're talking about all kinds of things, from the geopolitical sphere to the economic sphere, we tie it all in, and even to our personal lives, because there's so much garbage in our head and in our heart. And what we're trying to do is, because it's garbage day, and we're the garbage men, and what we're trying to do is come and pick up and dump that garbage. We got to dump that garbage, that weight of this world. Because the Jesus says it beautifully. You cannot put new wine in old wineskin, lest the wineskin break and the wine spill out. He was telling you that you can't put the foresight, the understanding, the wisdom, the knowledge, the love, the passion, the inner thought of what God has for you in your head, so long as you have this madness in your mind and in your heart. Because you would dilute both, and it won't, and with God off, it won't be no good to you. Do you not see how brutal the white man is becoming, how vicious he's becoming, how openly arrogant he's becoming to you? Do you not see that? I was reading something where a brother said, this proves we've got to get our own land. We've got, brothers and sisters, do you understand laws? That's one thing I want you to ask yourself. Do you understand the way the system works? Do you not remember Rosewood, that black town? Huh? Do you not remember several other towns that are similar to Rosewood? Do you not remember Black Wall Street? Black towns that were still under the laws, still under the direction of the U.S. government, even though they were separate cities or towns meant for and built by blacks. When the white man got mad, he went and destroyed the towns, killing people left and right. It became easy for him to kill people because they were all there. Do you not understand this? This white man controls the levels of power in America. And this is why in the Bible, the God says, I'm not going to let you go, separate in the land of Egypt. I'm going to leave you out of Egypt and give you that land that I promised to you. Do you not understand that? That's in the Bible. This is what Elijah Muhammad was talking about. We want nothing less than a complete freedom. Nothing less. Not no temporary homes. Not no temporary lands. Not no temporary cities. We don't want nothing that's temporary. We are in a temporary world, and we want something that is permanent, something that God gives to us, that God conveys to us, bestows upon us, and guides us into, not through the whims of your thought because you're getting exasperated over the system, because you're getting exasperated that the white man is reaching out against you, moving against you and your children. Hell, he's moving against all of us. But you do not negate prophecy, but God says he delights himself in defending us in the midst of our enemies. Let him get happy. Let the white man do what he's doing because he has to do this. Well, our youth are dying in the street. Well, that was prophesied, that they would fall slain in the streets. But all of these events must take place for the prodigal son to turn to his father. These things must take place, that the dry bones rise up and become connected, and all of them know their place. These things must take place for an exodus to happen. But you're narrow-minded. You don't see this. You won't ignore this. You reduce Muhammad's teachings to slogans while the white world is unraveling, while the pillars of the world are falling. The greatest pillar of the white world is collapsing right in front of you. You're living in the midst of the greatest pillar of white power and colonialism, yet you still don't see that she's collapsing. The job situation is horrible. The debt situation, whether it be government, and you can name city, state, federal, and all these municipalities, or whether it be personal debt, it's horrible. The poverty level has exploded. Hunger has exploded. A racial divide has exploded. The haves and the have-not divide has exploded. The people are moving to secede from within America, and the nations on the outside are moving to isolate America, as the scriptures predicted they would be doing in this time. And you still have your head buried in the sand. You still don't want to accept truth as laid out by Messenger Elijah Muhammad. I tell you that it's a horrible time for those who reject truth. I know that some of us love the teaching and we love the messenger and we're sincere and we believe. But we have to go to another level. You don't want to just stay at a believer. You want to become a knower. The messenger says a man would know, talking about knowledge, would always defeat a man with belief. So instead of you offering up what you just believe, how about you get a little insight and learn the in-depthness of what has been taught to you so that you can go and explain it ad nauseum to anyone and everyone, and to be confident to be able to defend it against everyone, especially in this time, because brothers and sisters, this is going to be a time unlike any time you've ever seen before. Do you see how things are going in the stores? I'll go in the store sometimes, and then we'll go to some clips, but like I said, I wanted to go in another direction, but I always let Allah lead me where he wants to lead me. And you go in the packages has shrunk, or instead of you getting $4 for $1, you're getting $3 for $1, and the $3 you're getting are smaller. That's hiding inflation. When you used to go get a bottle of alcohol, 3 or 4 bottles for $1, big bottles, now you're getting them, and at the bottom of them, you'll see them having they're indented at the bottom. So there's like a curvature at the bottom, so there's less alcohol in the bottle, and the bottles become smaller, and you're paying $1 for 1. That's hiding inflation. If the American economy was so good, why would you need to do these things? Why would you need to mask the depths of a fall? Huh? Let me tell you something. So As I was reading some things on the economy. I was reading over the past statements by some of the political runners in the previous presidential election. And I was reading what Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders were saying about black unemployment. I started doing this right after the show when I was telling you about black unemployment. And so there were others who said, I think Jill Stein and a couple of other ones, they were talking about unemployment, real unemployment numbers. And so Bernie Sanders said that from his figures and from what he was looking at, black unemployment was at least 51% in America. Donald Trump says that black unemployment, and this was about 2 or 3 months ago, that black unemployment was at least 59%. Now, we'll just look at those two. We won't even go about anybody else. Now, if America is so colorblind, if America is so free of race hatred, then why disproportionately are blacks suffering economically and at the hands of the police? And they're being deprived of jobs, right? They're being deprived of of the ability to get loans to start their own businesses. Why? If there's no problem with color, why are these things going on? And when we look at the situation, we can say that the entire system was built upon white supremacy. They didn't, as Muhammad says, they didn't bring you here to be their equal. They didn't bring you here to be rulers of the land. They brought you here to be a slave. And this is the truth. And this is the position that you have always been in. Well, I am the president of BET. Well, I'm a billionaire. You try to divorce your reality and from your people so that you can be accepted in their world. And they still don't like you. When they get tired of you, you see what they do to you. Look at what they've done to Michael Jackson. Look at what they've done to others, Bill Cosby. Niggas, stay in your place or we'll demonize you. We'll lie on you. We'll pay these people to do this. We'll do that. We'll use some of these terms to move against you. And once we get these black women started against you, you've lost your credibility after that. This is how the white man works. He uses you up, then throws you away. His whole system is a predatory system. And once he sucks the last bit of life out of you, whether it is in the entertainment industry or in the military or in the political or economic realm, he discards the body because it is no longer useful for him. So now God moves on them to force a fall, to force a collapse. And everything that they've done is catching up to them. It's starting to catch up to them. All of the lies that they put on the backs of others to maintain their power. There's a time now where it is blowing back. And this is just not in America. This is all over the white world. The whole white world is falling. They cannot stop what God has ordained against them. He is removing their economic pillars of power. Without the economics, you have no military. Without the economics, your influence is diminished. Without the economics, you cannot impose or force your will or your ideas on the people who are less empowered economically. So Muhammad, when he tells you these things about the removal of the world, he says, this takes years. This is in our Savior Azariah. As it takes years to remove a world. Well, how do you remove one? Does God snap his finger? Because some of these so-called Muslims believe it. Does he just snap his finger? And all of a sudden, the world just disappears. No. There are events that must take place to weaken the world. He says, by degrees from which you cannot perceive. And it is like a cancer that has been eating away at the body. And when the patient realizes it's too late. It's too late. All around the world, they are suffering from this debt problem. All around the world, they're suffering from stagnation. All around the world, they're suffering from the destruction of international trade. But the Eastern nations got smart. They started a trade with the West. We'll keep up your Ponzi scheme. Just give us your gold. Just give us your silver. Just give us your copper. Just give us your minerals. We'll reinvest your worthless dollars in your economies. And America and the West had a free ride, so they thought. So they thought. And in this article that I was reading, they were dealing with this. And they were saying that, with all said and done, people say that one of the main reasons for the fall was when America took the world off the gold and silver standard. I said, I wonder who taught that. And it goes back. And you could have thought that they were reading Message to the Black Man, because it's in Message to the Black Man when the messenger talked about this. Remember, the decline of the dollar was first in the Message to the Black Man before it was in Fall of America. But in this, they said, it even went before that. And remember what Elijah Muhammad says, the years 1965 and 66 will prove to be fatal years for the fall of America. They were talking about this is when the trouble started. And if America would not have gone off the gold and silver standard, she would have had declared bankruptcy. So she unhinged herself from that to free herself up. In reality, what America did in 1971 was what she did in the earlier days of the 20th century. When she unhooked herself from the gold and silver standard, you know what she did? She defaulted on her debt. But today is in such a way that she is in such a position now that the only way she thinks that she can free herself is through war. And hence she is provoking the world to war. And this is why she's not bringing the troops home. She's trying to maintain her military. She's trying to maintain her empire. She knows that everything is about to fall. She knows this. She's become economically isolated. And no one saw this 10 years ago. No one saw this 30 years ago. Elijah Muhammad explained it to you perfectly. And we're looking at the unraveling of this. If you do not believe that the entire world of the white man is undergoing a change, is being uprooted and removed, and his political aspirations are dying because there's so much disagreement between government and government and people and government, and because of the debt load, which has become unbearable, not just in America, but in the whole entire Western world, then you don't know nothing. I want you to listen to these clips here. From Italy to France to the Eurozone to America, poverty has become their best friend. I want you to listen to this two-minute clip, if it is allowed to play.
The Italians living in absolute poverty rose from 1.8 million in 2007, the year that marked the beginning of the financial crisis worldwide, to 4.6 million last year, equaling almost 8% of the population in the country. That makes a 155% poverty increase in a span of 10 years. The figures have been recently released by the Italian Conference of Bishops. Consecutive governments, the conference has argued, have failed to deal with Italy's growing poverty levels in the past decade.
What is most striking here is that for years no government has ever adopted serious income redistribution policies. Social equality has been totally forgotten in our country. The need for austerity measures has been simply an excuse to make inequalities even bigger. That's why we have more poor than ever today.
In Italy, according to the National Statistical Agency Istat, the wealthiest 20% of families took home more than 37% of the total income, while the poorest 20% accounted for just 8% of the full figure.
The situation gets even gloomier in Italy's underdeveloped south, where over 10% of the population is living in absolute poverty, and its 40% employment rate is lower than any other country in the European Union.
For some 15 to 20 years, no public development policies for the south have been introduced. The post-Second World War process of industrialization of the south has given very poor results. No government will be able to steer the country out of the crisis if the south is not involved in the process.
Italy's statistical agency Istat has recently unveiled income inequality across the country. Half of families from northern and central Italy live on an annual income of about €24,000, a figure which falls to less than €20,000 in the south. Max Civili, Pressi, Rome.
So we're seeing the problems going on in Italy. I think it's the third largest or the second largest economy in Europe. Now, this we're talking about unemployment. What about the banking problem? What about the debt problem? See, all of this stuff is together. Now, remember, there's a connection here with the Eurozone and America. There's a great connection, and we got to talk about that quickly. But first, I need to get these other short clips over to you to show you what Muhammad was meaning when he was writing in both Message to the Black Man and Fall of America about the resurrection of our people and how the resurrection would take place. And let me say this to you. When he talks about the resurrection of our people, then why was he talking about the destruction of one world and the bringing in of another? How does that connect with resurrecting people? See, you ask yourself these questions. We're going to learn that in just a second. I want you to listen to this two-minute clip if you think the Western world has a bright future. We just looked at Italy. Now let's look at the second largest economy, I think the second largest economy in Europe, France. Here we are. Hopefully, They're blocking this clip. Hold on 1 second. Maybe they'll play it. Maybe they'll play it. You know how we go through this stuff. And also, I want to say this to you, brothers and sisters. I want to thank you all for joining. I don't know what's going on here, but they will not allow any more clips. I'm under attack right now. The computers are under attack right now. Brothers and sisters, I want to apologize for this. So hopefully we'll get the screens. All right, there we go. Our virus protector did knock it off. Let's see if it'll play now. Well, I tell you, this devil is a mess.
France's December job data is out, and 30,000 more people are out of a job. For all of 2016, joblessness remained nearly unchanged and near the record high. Unemployment is the main reason François Hollande will not even attempt re-election, a historically rare decision for an incumbent president in the West.
The main problem in our country is unemployment. Either people don't have jobs or they don't have well-paying jobs, or they are underemployed or they live in regions where jobs have left. We need to try a different course with our economic policy.
Why has Hollande's policy, designed by technocrats and specialists, been unable to succeed? Hollande handed hundreds of billions of euros in tax cuts to corporations, but there were no strings attached in the form of forcing them to hire people. This taxpayer money was simply pocketed by rich businesses and only helped France to produce a European record for shareholder dividends in 2014. What Hollande didn't do is spend directly on government hiring and job creation programs, as he promised in 2012.
Hollande didn't have the audacity to go far enough. There's a need for a return to public services which can at least supply low-level service jobs. Among the impoverished, we estimate just 1% is in some form of job training.
What about the European Central Bank's purchase of corporate debt and government bonds, which will reach 2.2 trillion euros by the end of 2017? This form of bank welfare also has no conditions which force them to actually lend out the money to small and medium-sized businesses who would then have the money to hire more workers. Hollande's widely opposed labor code rollback has also not produced employment. Many economists predicted that increasing the ability to fire workers could not spur the mass hiring so desperately needed by so many people for so long. Ramin Mazahiri, Press TV, Paris.
I want to address some on this. Now, what they were talking about is the same thing that you're talking about in Greece, that you're talking about in Spain, that you're talking about in the UK, Italy, around the Western world, especially here in America. In layman's terms, they're talking about bailouts. When the government takes your money or borrows money from other nations to bail out corrupted, bankrupt corporations, that promises the government that they'll try to use that money to create jobs, but only lines their pockets. Now, the government doesn't move to help you out on Main Street. They move to help the corporations out which run the government. So what they're doing is corruption. They're spreading corruption. This is the whole system. And then they want to get mad at you if you apply for welfare, right? Or if you apply for food stamps. And they're getting mad to give you $180 or $200. And they're giving these people trillions of dollars to put in their pockets, right? But Muhammad had it right. And this chapter is also in Fall of America. It's called A House Doomed to Fall. And listen to how he labels this. He says, we cannot deny the fact that the Christian West is responsible for this universal corruption in the land and sea. What corruption? The monetary system, the financial order, the political order. This is what he's talking about. And now it's suffering blowback. Because it is a monster upon feeding upon itself. It has eaten up all of the hosts of the world. And now it's turning upon itself to feed upon itself. And this is causing white outrage. How dare you steal my wealth that I stole from everybody else? How dare you demand of me to give some of my wealth that I stole to some people whom I stole it from? How dare you? It's eaten upon itself. You understand? And it is causing an uprising, and this is where your Trump phenomenon comes from. He speaks to the outrage because they see their world in trouble. They see the world collapsing, and they need some type of hope. But I want to say to them all, hope is lost. Muhammad says, from the same corruption that their own hands have wrought will come their doom. So the bailouts, the money, even though they're printing the money out of thin air, They have to pay it back. And how the hell can you pay back trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars if your economies are stagnant, if the currency is dying, if the trade is broke? You become a bankrupt nation, just like the bankrupt corporations that you have tried to bail out. You see Elijah Muhammad, how he has this stuff right and exact? Do you not see this? So, let's go a little further. If we're going to stay on the Eurozone for a minute, then we'll go back to America. I want you to pay close attention to the situation there.
Investing in Europe's youth is the name given by the European Commission to its latest set of proposals to try and tackle the youth unemployment crisis in the Eurozone. The Commission is suggesting that the EU's youth employment budget is increased from 6.4 to 8.4 billion euro.
More needs to be done to improve the quality of the offers made and reach out to the most disadvantaged young people who are the furthest away from the labour market.
Youth unemployment is currently running at between 20 to 30% in France, Portugal, Belgium, Finland, Romania, Slovakia and Cyprus. It is even worse in Croatia, Italy, Spain and Greece, where the rate is between 40 to 50%. We spoke to some young EU citizens about the crisis.
We were just talking about that before and saying how hard it's to get an internship and then how is it going to be for looking for a job? So it's not, the future is not bright and we have a lot of questions, a lot of doubts.
Politicians need to do more. I'm Italian and in Italy there are very big problems.
The social consequences of the youth unemployment problem in the Eurozone are enormous. The European Commission is looking for reforms to the EU's education system so that young people gain more relevant skills. There is also a plan to enhance employability through volunteering programs. Economic stagnation in the Eurozone is fueling youth unemployment, and youth unemployment is fueling economic stagnation. It's a vicious circle that Eurozone leaders and the EU institutions, including the European Central Bank, have been trying to break now, with little success, for the past 8 years. Jerome Hughes, Press TV, Brussels.
Not done yet. Did you hear all of those names of those nations he rung off about the situation over there? Now remember, whatever situation that's going on over there, all while you hear these clips, remember this one thing, that America's debt situation, that her monetary crisis, that her corruption makes those situations over there look like child's play. When you have quadrillions in the derivative market, when you have hundreds of trillions in another market, the bond market, when you have hundreds of trillions that are owed out to unfunded liabilities, when you have 20 to 30 and 40 trillion dollars in debt, when you're constantly running trillion-dollar deficits. Did you know this? I found this out the other day, too. Did you know? I did not know this, that America has run over a $1 trillion trade deficit with Mexico. I didn't even know that. Over the last few years, there's a mechanism between these two trade partners that allows America to do certain things, but she has to pay that tab every so often. I did not know that. But the debt is so high, I think it's nearing $2 trillion. That's not even spoken about. Do you see how corrupt, how underhanded, and how indebted these societies are? Brothers and sisters, this is a beautiful time to be a follower of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I want you to pay close attention to this, and we're going to come back to this subject in just a second. Now, I see we're down to like 7 minutes. Please, if needed, would you please do not answer your phones or click over on the Internet or whatever like this. I want to bring this back to you, and I want to talk to you with definition. I want to give you depth of what we're talking about. I want to give you an understanding as given to us by Allah through his last messenger. I don't want you to go away from here not knowing or not understanding the situation at hand, okay? So be patient and give me a little more time, which you've needed, all right? So we're going to go to this clip here about what's going on in the Eurozone also so that you can get an understanding of what's coming to America.
Now, the unemployment crisis in the Eurozone shows no sign of ending, as the new data revealed that there are still around 16 million people of working age in the 19-country bloc who cannot find a job. Youth unemployment remains specifically high in Greece, Spain, Italy, and France. Jerome Hughes reports from the EU's de facto capital.
job centres in most of the 19 Eurozone countries remain extremely busy, 9 years after the 2008 economic collapse. Data just published by Eurostat, the EU's statistical office, shows that there are 20.4 million people of working age in the EU who are unemployed, 15.8 million of whom live in the Eurozone. Youth unemployment rates are still very high in several countries. We asked citizens to share their views on the social consequences of the crisis.
A lot of young people think about suicide. A lot of young people think to the crime, to sell drugs, and that's a big problem for the society.
People don't even have money to buy heating, so indeed we know that it's not the same Europe that maybe our parents had experienced, something that was evolving and getting better. There's a stagnation for sure.
According to the latest official statistics, the overall youth unemployment rate has gone down, but in Greece it is still running at 46.1%. In Spain, it is at 44.4%, Italy 39.4%, and France 25.9%. We asked the European Commission if EU member states should be doing more to tackle the problem.
Of course, a lot of more efforts are needed, and we're working on this. But as this extensive report shows, and as also the figures show, when you look at the youth unemployment figures, it's going at least in the right direction.
Huge unemployment levels in the Eurozone have resulted in people feeling disempowered and let down by the EU's political establishment. This Euroscepticism could become even more apparent when government elections take place in several countries later this year. According to political scientists, it is a trend that represents a real threat to the future of the EU. Jerome Hughes, Press TV, Brussels.
So, this is what's going on here. So you're seeing the EU fold up under debt. Now, remember now, these things are not just done out of the blue. They keep a record of this. I want to put this in your mind because we will come back to this part here. They keep records of this in America and in Europe and in the world about their corruption, about their underhanded deals. You might not see it. They might classify it. But they keep records of these things, okay? Now, when we look at the situation in Europe, it looks bad, right? And the debt situation looks bad, right? But always remember that America is much, much worse. Remember, she has the global reserve currency. So she has been unhinged for a long time. She has trillions and trillions upon trillions of dollars. And this is why the God says in the Bible, and I'm paraphrasing, that in the time of her doom or her downfall, none will be able to aid her. Because they would be trapped in certain situations like this. And look at the debt situation. If every nation in the world held hands right now and decided to help America out of this debt situation or help Europe out of this debt situation right here, right now, they don't produce enough income to offset the debt. So no matter how many people try, it cannot be done. See, this is the trap, the snare that was laid for the Western world, that was laid for Babylon, which is America, that was laid for Yaqub's people who have dominated the world for the last 6,000 years. But I want you to see something. So Muhammad says the time is at hand, right? But Muhammad also says, he tells us, yes. In that chapter, we go back to what I was saying before we played the other two clips. A chapter called The Resurrection of Our People. Now, this chapter here is not only in the message to the black man, but it also is in the fall of America, just like I read you that from the other chapter that is in fall of America, but it is also in message to the black man. So when he does things like this, one must understand that if he's putting it in two books, he's trying to emphasize the importance of it, the magnitude of what is going on. He's not just putting a sentence in there. He's putting entire chapters in there to show you something. He's saying, this message that I'm trying to convey to you, black man, you won't get it here. So I'm going to put it in something so that you can understand that it has direct ties to the fall of America. You understand? So here, Muhammad says, the resurrection of our people. And in this chapter, he writes, the old world must be removed to make way for the new world. There is a universal struggle being waged by the old world against the beginning of the new world. How is that? The war on terror, which is a war of terror. The dissemination of all kind of madness to get your mind off the truth. To stop you to keep your mind on the madness in the street, to inundate your societies with drugs and violence to keep you from understanding that your world is at hand. So Muhammad goes further, he says, will the old world's opposition prevent the establishment of the new world? According to recorded history, the efforts being made by the old world against the beginning of a new world will fail, as did former opponents of Allah. Now, I'm going to stop right there for a minute. What's so important about this? He says the old world must be removed. Well, he didn't snap his fingers. You remove a world by removing the pillars of the world, just like you remove a house by removing the pillars of the house. The influence. See, they've been exposed. The system of the West has been exposed. Even the people of the West are demanding a new system. They're demanding a reset, a global change. The problem is they want to lead that. And they want to be the visionaries of that. Right? So he's exposing the corruption of the system, the injustice of the system. The hints you see in all of this stuff, the rising up all around the world against all this madness. Everybody is fed up with the system. Then he goes and shows you it's a parasitic system. It's a debt-laden system. Muhammad was talking about this in the 40s, the 50s. Now you got Mr. Manarino and Mr. Greg Hunter and all of them are talking about the system must be changed. It's a debt system. No fiat currency has ever lasted. Well, if you knew this now, why didn't you say it back then when you were prospering off of it? Huh? Do you see? They made their money, and now they're warning their brothers and their sisters because they see an imminent decline and fall of their world, their system. And they're trying to position themselves to go to the other. So Muhammad goes further. He says, according to the history of Noah, the people ridiculed the very thought of Allah bringing a flood to drown them. Noah was laughed at and scorned for preaching such a doctrine. According to the Bible and Holy Quran, he was called a liar and looked upon as a crazy person. Some of the members of Noah's own family joined the mockers and disbelievers of Allah and his messenger, who was Noah. They also met the same fate of the others who disbelieved. Listen to this. The opposition of that world to the advent of a better world was a total failure. So shall it be with those today who oppose the beginning of a new world of righteousness, which is Islam. Don't you hear the West? Now look, they go into Europe, go into the Middle East, go into Africa and bum the hell out of these people, steal their resources, put bases up in there, right? Try to demand that the governments live like them and mold the people in their countries and their systems after the West, even though the West systems are imploding, right? And then when the people need help, they run over to Europe, man, you bombed us, you deposed our leaders, you destroyed our infrastructure, and now these so-called Muslims are taking over. These so-called blacks must go back to Africa. We cannot feed and sustain these populations. You should have thought about that before you intervened militarily and economically in these lands. This is a blowback to empire. So everything is being exposed. Everything is being uprooted. There's a growing rattling. There's a growing anger in the minds and the hearts of the people, in the governments. But Muhammad goes further. We go down a little bit. We're going to skip a few paragraphs because we're going down to something. Just like in the fall of America, this chapter, and message to the black man, read, the powerful, rich world of Christianity, he specifies, he generalizes the entire white man's world. Then he specifies the pillar of the white man's world. He says, the powerful, rich world of Christianity, especially America, is made to seem as immovable as the mountains. But it is not impossible to remove mountains. They can be removed by high explosives. So wealth and power also can be reduced to nothing. What is Elijah Muhammad talking about? He's talking about the resurrection of our people. But he's talking politics. He's talking war. He's talking economics here. What is he talking about? This is how God goes to destroy the world. He removes their power economically, militarily, and politically. He uproots this, and he exposes the inherent corruption and greed and injustice of the system itself. And so there's a longing and a need now for change. And not only are those who have been subjugated for centuries are yearning for change, but those who have done the subjecting are yearning for change. game over. The pillars of the Western world unravels. Muhammad says, we are now living in the judgment or doom of the white man's world. Preparations have been made to meet every effort by the white man to oppose the beginning and setting up of Allah's new world of righteousness, Islam. So, in this chapter, he talks about the destruction of wealth. He talks about the removal of the mountains. What does the mountains represent? In theology, the mountains represent the governments. So Muhammad is talking about the economic crisis of America and the world. He's talking about the removal of their economic and political power over you. This is how you become resurrected. Resurrected means to rise up and act civil. Not getting up out of the ground, dusting off the maggots and talking about, oh, Lord, thank you for giving me life to get out of the grave. That's not how it works. Oh, I tell you, black man, black woman, the most opposition that you get is from believers. But we got truth to back up what we're talking about, and we can prove it to you that this is the end of America. And we're showing you this. As a matter of fact, listen what Mr. Jack Ma, the CEO and founder of Alibaba, which is, I think, now the biggest corporation in the world, surpassing Walmart and Amazon. And this is what he says at Davos, when he was addressing the crowd and he was addressing America, how America told, they're stealing our jobs. They're stealing our manufacturing. They're doing this. Mr. Jack Ma gives you the perfect rebuttal to the situation that is facing America. I want you to pay close attention. This is only a minute and 48 seconds, and you got to listen closely because he's not articulating in English, but he really, really goes through and he explains it and throws the body excrement back on America where it deserves to be at. Listen close to this right here.
Just spent some time inside Trump Tower. In
past 30 years, the American had 13 wars, spending $14.2 trillion. The money going there. What if they spent a part of that money on building up the infrastructure, helping the white collars and blue collars? No matter how strategy good it is, you're supposed to spend money on your own people, right? Not everybody can pass Harvard.
To linger around Alibaba is the piracy issue. There's an IP.
We should spend money on those people who are not good at schooling. And the other money, which I'm curious about, is that when I was young, I heard America is bad. Ford and Boeing, those big manufacturing companies. Last 10, 20 years, I heard about is Silicon Valley and Wall Street. The money go to the Wall Street. And what happened? Year 2008, the financial crisis wiped out $19.2 trillion USA alone. They wiped all the white collars and destroyed 34 million jobs globally. So what if the money, it's not Wall Street, what if the money spent on the Middle East, Middle West of the United States, developing the industry there, that could be changed a lot. So it's not the other countries steal jobs from you guys. It is your strategy.
Okay,
but you do not distribute the money and things in a proper way.
Well, I don't think so. I think China and the U.S.
You heard him. It's not our fault that you're losing jobs. Why? In less than 10 years, you had 13 wars. 13 wars. And that doesn't include the hidden wars. You know, the covert wars. He's talking about wars that you can just see and that they reported on. Spending trillions of dollars in treasure on wars to try to dominate the world. Right? And then it caused her downfall. This is what Elijah Muhammad had said would happen. Go read Message to the Black Man and Fall of America. He said that this would happen. Exactly like this. And then the world would call out on her arrogance and her policies. This is what's going on right here. This is how we know that the game is over. The pillars of the Western world have now unraveled. And so Muhammad writes, and our Savior has arrived. In the days of the Son of Man, there will be much trouble and confusion of nations. Bible, Isaiah 2:24:1 says, the whole world will be turned upside down and nations scattered abroad. The Bible says in Matthew 25:32, before him shall be gathered all nations. The Holy Quran says, you shall see all nations kneeling before him, and they shall be judged out of their own books. Uh-oh, stop right there. Mr. Ma was talking about how America had all of this money, and she wasted this treasure on wars of aggression, wars of colonialism, thinking that she would become more enriched. As a matter of fact, you know what Donald Trump says? He said that when we left Iraq, we should have took the oil. And then he goes the other day, he says, he doubles down on that. Now, something he said a while ago, but he doubled down on it a few days ago. He says, we might get a chance for that again soon. This is what he says. With the same mindset, I'm going to take what you have, and you have no defenses to stop me. This is why they're mad at North Korea and the rest, because they can defend themselves. And a bully don't like for you to be able to defend yourself against his bully tactics. So Mr. Ma calls them out. No, don't blame us. Don't blame Asia. Don't blame Africa. Don't blame South and Central America for your job loss, your manufacturing loss, your economic prowess, your dollar crumbling, your economy collapsing. No, sir. You had the money. And what did you do with that money? You wasted on frivolous wars of conquest and empire. So blame me not. Blame yourself. So this is, they're calling them out on their own books, their own records. Muhammad says, the Holy Quran says that God will judge them out of their own books. This don't mean God sitting in a seat like you have been made to think, sitting on a throne saying that, hey, America, I'm looking in your book, and this is what you did. No, God causes the nation to call her to account. God causes world events to expose it so the whole world can see. So what he says, the Holy Quran says that God will judge them out of their own books, which have the condemnation of their own evil and unjust judgment, which they did give out to the people, especially the poor black slaves. Now listen to this. Boom! That is the end. When this is accomplished, when the Son of Man proves that he is justified in destroying the wicked, then they will be destroyed in the twinkling of an eye. Are we reaching that stage there? Huh? Y'all know we are. You see the fall of America, it's clear. You can't lie and say that this truth have not been proven to you. Because we're letting you hear what the world is saying about the situation at hand. Not just in America, but the entire Western world. The so-called civilized world, the so-called wealthy world. How in the hell can you be wealthy when you got to beg and borrow other nations? You call other nations third world nations, but you got to beg and borrow them for their mineral resources, their mineral wealth, to loan you so that you can be wealthy. How the hell is that possible? That's just like you getting a credit card with $200,000-$300,000 on it, you poor, and then you begging Capital One to give you some more credit so that you can still look like you rich, so that you can pay off the debt that you just put on the card for Capital One. That's madness. That's insanity. That's America. That's the white world. Allah is exposing them to view. And no one can deny that this is the day of requital. This is the day of judgment. This is the day of resurrection. This is the day of decision. And you must make a decision based upon the facts of what is being presented to you today, that you be found wanting and removed from the planet Earth. So, Muhammad writes a chapter in Message to the Black Man, and it's called Time is at Hand. He says that this is what I'm trying to get to the believers who are listening to me today. Forget what the white man is doing. Forget what you see. I know it's hard. Believe me, sometimes I get anxious too sometimes. And then sometimes I have to escape, just get in the shower and just let the water run on me. And sometimes I just have to go sit out on my patio by myself and listen to me some music or listen to me some, my girl Anita Baker, or something that's soothing, or listen to the message. Because there's so much going on. And it is enough that it'll overload your senses. and we get impatient, and we see all the, oh, look at what the devil's doing. Then we see all, we got to do this, and we got to do that. Listen to what Elijah Muhammad says right here in this chapter of the time at hand. Know that Allah is with us. And then in parentheticals, us, he puts the believers. This is what he says. Then he says, and Allah has promised in the Bible, in the Holy Quran, that if we believe and put our trust in him, he is sufficient as a protector. That no weapons formed against the true believers will prosper. The devil shoot us down. The devil killing us. Allah has promised in the Bible and in the Holy Quran that if we believe and put our trust in him, he is sufficient as a protector, that no weapons formed against us will prosper against us, brothers and sisters. They won't prosper. They cannot prosper against us. How in the world can the devil's carnal weapons prosper against the Lord of the world and his flock? Now, according to the Merriam-Webster's dictionary, the word promise means a declaration that one will do or refrain from doing something specified. A legally binding declaration that gives the person to whom it is made a right to expect or to claim the performance or forbearance of a specified act. Well, if God promised it, I want it. Right? So, legally, God is under contract to perform that act that he told me he would, or he has breached the contract. Right? So Muhammad says, what? Know that Allah is with us, the believers. And Allah has promised, he has a declaration that he would do something or refrain from allowing others to do something against us, right? It is a legally binding declaration by God that gives us, or that person, the believer, to whom it was made, a right to expect or to claim performance or forbearance of a specified act. What is that specified act? That he is sufficient as a protector. That no weapons formed against the true believers will prosper. We are the true believers of Allah, as the Holy Quran teaches. They planned against us, but Allah also has plans. And he is the best of planners. So, know that Allah's promise is true, black man and black woman. Allah will not fail you when he makes a promise to you. But the devils, they fail you daily, and yet you still have faith in their Smith & Wessons. They don't even have, think about this. You still believe in the power of the white man's Smith & Wessons, right? The white man don't even believe in them no more. He has changed his manufacturing. He don't even want Smith & Wessons no more. Did you know that? He has come up with a new contract. He wants another weapon. He said, because the Smith & Wessons can't kill like I want to kill. Go Google this up if you think I'm lying. This is what the military, they just switch manufacturers of their weapons. You still believe in the guns that they have, and they don't even believe in them. That's a fool there, right? That's a fool. I tell you what, black man and black woman. Listen. So we close out with this. O Allah, guide me among those whom thou hast guided aright, and preserve me among those whom thou hast preserved and befriended, and bless me in whatever thou doest. Grant me and deliver me from the evil of that which thou hast judged. Surely thou judgest, and none can judge against thee. And whom thou befriendest is not disgraced. Brothers and sisters, with an undying love and passion for the upliftment, the liberation, and the freedom and redemption of 68 million of our kind first here in America, and then the billions around the world, know that your little brother Rashid Muhammad loves you, but I don't love you to death. I love you to life. But the love that I have for you pales in comparison to the love that Allah in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, his messenger, the last and the greatest of the messengers of God, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, and the mighty, mighty, mighty nation of Islam has for you. Brothers and sisters, until we next meet again, be strong, be true. But above all things, be righteous. I love you all. I'm going to say this. As-salamu alaykum.
For information on our next show, please visit trumpetoftruth.wordpress.com and click on the Blog Talk Radio button. Until we converse again, always remember, No matter how low society may have rendered you, the wisdom of the one true God will lift you on high. May God bless and keep you. The Star and Crescent Report was created and directed by Rashid Muhammad, produced by Nicole Muhammad, and hosted by Rashid Hiram, 1555 Muhammad. Have a blessed day.
That I like the moon I miss. Day to day the roles we play. Hope this round with
there is more to me, Queen Eliara of Elfgard, than my elven magic. Just as there's more to Geico than saving you money, Geico also gives you 24/7 access to licensed agents online, on the phone, or on the Geico app. And while I am a mighty elf queen, I am also a mighty big fan of barbecue potato chips. Minions! More smoky mesquite.
Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.